Welcome to the New Zone with OFA Podcast, a daring exploration of the unfiltered truths and intimate conversations that lie beneath the surface. Join us as we peel back the layers, shedding societal norms and expectations to embrace vulnerability. Get ready for thought-provoking discussions, empowering stories, and a safe space where we celebrate the raw and real. It's time to step back into the new zone where we dare to bear our souls and discover the freedom in being unabashedly human. Allow me to introduce your host, OFA.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the New Zone with OFA Podcast. With me in the zone today are two very wonderful gentlemen. Aww. One sweet gentleman and one sweeter. Guys, please don't mind me. you know how I can get. Well, I have with me... Let me be serious. My husband is in the zone. That's why I'm acting like this. Yeah. So the FA in my OFA is here with me in the zone. And I now have SFA. Do you see what I'm like this? OFA is with FA, with SFA. Like there's so many amazing FAs in the zone, hence my giddiness. Guys, welcome back to another wonderful episode. And yeah, I have SFA with me in the zone. SFA, please say hi.
Hi guys, it's good to be back again.
Yeah, and I have the FA in my OFA. Yes, Oluwa Femi.
Yo, Zoners, it's good to be back. We were on a very long break, but we thank God for life. We're back.
And today we're talking about, you know, we talk about relationships on this podcast. So if you're new here, we talk about relationships. And it's not just the romantic kind of relationships. Even though most times, often than not, we kind of focus on that. Because, you know, it's a no-brainer. This is kind of relation that excites a lot of people, you know, the boy meets girl, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. So yeah, we kind of focus on that more, but you would learn that, or you would see that the principles or the opinions that we share actually span across, you know, the romantic relationships. You can apply it to every kind of relationship that you have. Today, guys, we're talking about, do similarities equal compatibility? Did I hear because I just did a mental in my head. So let's start with the person who I'm is bone of his bone and I'm the flesh of his flesh. The person that God created me for, from his rib, Oluwa Femi. I'm going to ask you both straight to the point, you know, before we start dissecting it. In your candid opinion, do similarities equal compatibility? One word answer. Yes. No.
No.
No. Okay. SFA. The similar, please, you push another one. You have the same viewpoint on this thing, though. But let's see, sir. Do similarities equal compatibility?
Okay. I'll say yes, and I also say no.
Ah. Okay. Well, I'm going to get to that. Okay, so let's start with, let's go back to Oluwa Femi. You know what? That's going to be a mouthful for me. You guys know that I call him MK. So I'm just going to go back to my MK. Yes, I call my husband MK. So MK, why do you say no? Similarities do not equal compatibility. Guys, of course, you know, when you say you have similarities, it means that you guys share a lot of common, you share a lot of things in common, right? Maybe you like the color blue, that person also likes the color blue. You enjoy eating shrimps, they also enjoy eating shrimps or seafood in general. You're a light sleeper, that person is also a light sleeper. So why do you say that having these things in common doesn't necessarily mean that you can be compatible with that person?
All right. Thank you, OFA, for having me on this podcast or on this edition of the podcast.
You're welcome, baby.
All right, so I feel that basically, right, they say like pose the repel, unlike pose is what attracts. I feel that if there are, as does similarity is necessarily
equal compatibility.
And I say no, because the fact that we have a whole lot of things in common would or does not guarantee our compatibility, and especially so as married couples. I think couples are married now. Okay, not necessarily.
not necessarily.
Especially as married couples. Here's why. I'll give you an example. If one of the goals of relationships of a marriage is growth, right? When there is growth, there is addition, there is if I say adventure now, it may be out of the scope, but it's not really out of the scope. Adventure is doing something out of the regular. So if we both like virtually the same thing, we'll be boring, and
there's
over
no excitement.
Time, and over time, when that bottom persists, you see that the compatibility would definitely be questioned, and I doubt if it would withstand the test of time. For example, we have similarities of not you and I now.
No, use you and I.
I'm trying to think of one actually of not being adaptive to change, for example.
Both of us.
I don't think so. I think me, I'm more adaptive to change than you.
Yeah.
So if both parties involved are also adaptive to change, and that is one of the similarities we share, trust me, when there is need for you to, and I think this might go above the head of a lot of people listening, when there is need for
you. Are you saying my new donors don't know what's up? Like, they are slow.
Not necessarily slow. It's not a common opinion.
Okay.
Yes. When there is need for you to break out of a chain, they say that good is the enemy of better. So it definitely is not healthy for a relationship, and it won't guarantee that compatibility, especially in a marriage setting.
SFA, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm going to pick it up from where MK has stopped. Why I first said...
No, it's my MK.
MK is a branded name.
Femi has stopped. Not an issue. Okay. Where Femi has stopped. New Zealand, so MK is only for you. Okay, where Femi has stopped. Okay, why I first said yes initially is that because on the surface, when you're looking at things, you know, when if for example, a lady and I, like say my wife and I now, we have certain things, you know, where we'll be alike. Mm-hmm. Now, when you are liking some things, it makes it easier for you to like drift to each other. Now, because if you will now take it out to maybe a wider, like just maybe basic relationship where there are no like emotional strings attached, people tend to, people tend to, it's easy for an eagle to fly with an eagle and then a chicken to go with a chicken. You just have, you know, even in the crowd when you're looking out, what we're looking out for is who looks like me.
Mm.
You know, they used to show me when people travel abroad, you know, you thought, who is my thing? Once you see it, so on the surface, when you're having those similarities, yes, it should bring about compatibility. Now, why I said no is where Femi has gone to straight. See, those same similarities that bring people together, we realize that in marriage setting, they are the same similarities that make people go apart. See, what the similarities are, she's just like me, my wife is Bobo and Bobo. When Bobo and Bobo marry, you start hearing, I don't know, but Bobo is too much. Or just going out to party every day. Maybe now, unfortunately, my own friends don't have weddings. She's not sitting at home. So that boy will say that in that marriage now, in a marital setting, it's going to bring about a lot of rift. So ordinarily, if if husband and the wife have similarities, they should also be in areas where they are not similar, that they will complement each other. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's why we are together, is synergy. Because you see, in marriage, you also don't want to marry your carbon copy.
Because for one, like MK said, the boredom, no, it no go be from here. Because when everything is just like as you expected, like you've always known, there's going to be no growth, no...
Okay, let's look at the legacy. Let's say we have an alpha male. You see, most alpha males, many at times, don't marry alpha female.
They can't even marry alpha.
And you ask yourself why. Somebody now gave one explanation. Well, now this is a lot of people. He says that, see, men, as much as we appreciate, you know, maybe like having a lady that's like you, strong build like you, this like you, you also don't want to always see the mirror of yourself in like the person you are married. Like, come on, you're strong. After a while, it's going to, you know, some, you know, like say, maybe, and they're making some move. Oh gosh, yeah. I made 5 moves. You know, initially, you were loving it. But when you now get married, you'd be like, So you begin to realize that. So yeah, they should be similarities.
Okay,
they
wait. I'm sorry. I know this is not exactly what we're talking about, but I'm just curious. This point you just raised. Why is it so? Because I can see that MK also agrees with it. You were nodding and saying, why can't you have a woman as strong as you are? You're making one motion. Does it not make your life easier? Ejo, enlighten me.
Let me go. I'll go after.
All right. So I think the point he's trying to make is not... it's not about you, or it's not about the wife not being as proactive as the guy, or even more proactive in the sense. You don't always, as a guy or as a man, you don't always want to see the reflection of you at home, always. And please, for all those who are listening, this is not being gender biased. No. And for the record, you cannot, if you want to come for me, please take your time and come for me. You cannot, and I'm saying this unequivocally, you cannot, or there cannot ever, till Jesus comes, be gender equality.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There cannot be. As much as...
That's why I was going for the jugular on my podcast.
As much as we would want it, even as men, as much as we would want a level playing field, but when you look at it in depth, you look at the wider picture, look at it critically, we cannot have gender equality. Say what this man does, me too, I want to know. However strong or whatever it is you are as a woman, there are things in the house, even if you feel that yes, you can do it, you still need the attention of your husband or of a man,
and
of
vice
a
male.
Yes. Yes.
Same thing. I won't lie to you. I tell people, if a man is left with kids, if you find kids that are raised only by a man, there's always a difference than kids that are raised by a man that has a wife.
I think it's a message that we all need to really accept. The woman is around to do the things that the man cannot do. And the man is around for the woman to do the things, you know, vice versa. So when you are trying to do the man's job, or you are trying to do the woman's
job. What's the man's job?
Don't explain me down this line. Right now, is it all these gender roles, feminism, masculinity, is a lot of everybody, and begin to even realize that there is a wider play to these gender roles, because don't forget that the media controls a lot.
Yeah,
they control virtually everything. So they are selling a message.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see this message, if not taken, like Femi said something, he said, you have to think about it. You see, sometimes when you hear something, take it in and just
eliminate.
Look at it. We've had some divorces right now that shouldn't otherwise have happened, if not for certain ideologies that have been perpetuated, that people are taking hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
Because what makes me laugh when it comes to equality, you know, sometimes you don't be on the night time too. They don't be with, you know, some of your female friends, everything, you all went out. Yeah, okay, we'll pay now. He said, no, I will not pay. I said, gender equality, pay. You can actually pay everything for me, right? Because ordinarily, I would have paid everything for you. And they say, no, this is not where we are talking about equality. And you begin to realize that discussion shifts. It's like a sword you just bring out in some area.
Mm.
Equality, yeah. If you say a man equal like a woman, man equal like a man, but for that, if a house were to like be bungled and people were at the door and they were knocking back. What will happen? Will the woman not say, please go there? If you not start saying, Femi, equality, you to go there. In that situation, doesn't even seem right that the man, even if the man is actually a coward, that's when you see that sometimes, even as a man, even if they're a coward, some things will come.
You
already know that this is, but we go there because
why?
You're meant to protect. That will not change.
That's fine. I call him for everything. We'll get old, spider. Not because I cannot kill him. I think is that protection thing. Instinctively, my husband is at home. He should protect me. So I call him, oh yeah, go and defend us against that war gecko. That's what it is. And well, let's not go into gender, all of that.
But like now he also now said, look at what Femi now painted. So at the end of the day, are we not complimenting each other?
We are.
A man is a woman. That's what makes everything interesting. So can you get where he's coming from right now? So the fact about that, even what he just portrayed right now is what even makes the marriage. Like for example, a woman, no matter how much you want a man to be understanding with you and be all, you still want it to be masculine. Mm-hmm. Some things. You just want that.
But too much masculinity, Shah, we don't want.
So I won't go down that
line. So now imagine
too much masculinity.
As we were saying earlier, that I don't want to see a reflection of me all of the time. Now imagine me seeing some sense of masculinity in my woman.
No, wait. Let's
I know we're agreeing that every man has a feminist. We understand that part. But what we are trying to say,
what we are saying here right now is. Can you, for the love of God, just see?
You didn't finish that sentence. Just what?
Can you, for the love of God, not exude so much of masculine nature? So much of masculinity.
What is masculinity?
All right. We talked about men are to protect. Right,
so that's not protection.
That's by default.
Yeah.
Men are to protect. Does it mean that women do not protect? No, but there is a way the woman protects. For example, there is an issue going on outside, or maybe a lady is trying to talk to your husband, talk him down, and is not called for. Of course, society will frown at the man engaging the woman. It's in the place of the woman, if she's available at that time, to protect.
The woman can say, so she can step in that situation because
society
will be looking at that. If a man gets a little loud without anybody asking a question, the dynamics have changed.
And all that stuff.
So if your wife were there, they'll be like, do not say that.
And same thing, you know.
The same thing if a man too were to be shouting at someone's
woman. But imagine if we are out and even as a cool, laid-back guy like me, a guy is trying to charge you outside and I'm like, babe, yo, sit, let me handle this. But because you feel that you can defend yourself, that's me seeing a man. As much as yes, she's my wife. So there are things that
That scenario, man, is quite funny.
There are thin lines, right? But it happens. So there are times when we don't want to see that. We just want to see, even sometimes as men, we don't want to see, I don't know if I'll put this right. We don't want to see a woman. We just want to see our babe. Like, I don't want to see you as Mommy Mojola, for example. I want to see you as
Because like I tell most women, you always get that. You see, the kids you leave, max is 20 years. So when they are gone, it's not me and you. So That's what we are saying. See, there are some things that if we're a man were to explain to you, might look a little funny. And that's why now, you know, we are on this podcast and people are like, just trying to, we are trying to also, we're not only expressing our opinions, we're also expressing things that we have also heard from people. And these are things that we also, everybody needs to like understand. And the funniest thing is that we also understand it at a subconscious level.
Everybody
does. We understand it psychologically. That's why even sometimes if we see a woman who is a powered up CEO, you know, always giving the orders, when she gets to her house, some women, they make sure they take their kids bath. They make sure they cook for their husband. Why? They want to, in the office, she's a boss. Yeah, but they don't want to lose that. Because you don't also want to get caught up in some things that life too might just throw in your lap. So you see that woman, the CEO that is sitting down on 10,000 employees, talking to people in Ghana, people in London, people in Hong Kong, she's still taking that, she will say, this house, I will cook from, she will find a way out. Why? Is that sense? Because sometimes, if not, see, it is easy for you to carry on. Don't you even see men who carry on office behavior all the way to their homes? Yeah, I'm the head of my home. I'm that, but do you want to be shouting at your wife and children as if you are shouting at an employee? We don't deny you don't even need to shout at an employee, but you're even just saying, so you now think that you now turn your home. And that's why we also, in the era that some of us grew up in, you know, you say daddy has come, everybody will disappear. That is not even the masculinity we are trying to to show, because you shouldn't appear and everybody disappears.
The lion of the tribe of Judah.
All of a sudden,
even the lion of the tribe of Judah said, you know, they disappear.
He wants us to be there.
You know?
That's at the end of the day, you now see so many in their 60s. And these are some things that you don't understand. 60s now, you now have no kids calling you.
Because you didn't.
You can't see grandchildren. During COVID, there was some discussions around all this. People complaining that I'm talking to my son only 30 seconds. I'm not seeing my grandchildren.
Well, you don't have anything to say to them.
But do not forget. Some of these things that even like I said, that is not masculinity. That's why I said we must not get it wrong. That daddy appears and everybody disappears. It's not masculinity.
Okay, so let's get back to the crux of the matter that we initially started with here. Similarities does not equal compatibility. So similar, for example, now there was one point that was in my head, I've forgotten it because of all these things that we now talked about. So the fact that I'm a movie buff, my husband is a movie buff, does not necessarily mean that, okay, let me not use husband, because I mean, for you to get into a marriage with somebody, I mean, you can't be talking about compatibility anymore, because you should have resolved that before entering into that relationship. So if you're dating somebody now, I mean, movie buff is also a movie buff, does that automatically mean that yes, we are good to go, we won't have any problems, we're compatible? Or is it possible that you might have those similarities and not be compatible?
Something came to my mind when you mentioned things like that movie buff. What is the real contribution of being movie buff to the marriage?
Okay.
Or to the relationship? No, because I'm trying to go somewhere. When you say I'm a movie buff, my partner is a movie buff, that similarity, that quality to the relationship, what does it really add? Because that's where people address similarities. I understand what you're trying to say, that it gives us time together, but we all know like there's a reality in marriage. You see, marriage in itself is work.
Let's underline that.
Where are we going to really put it? Yeah, it can be good for relaxation, but not a problem. But when we are looking at, I want to pick a man, is it that we are watching film? Because the way people draw similarities, sometimes it just is also like, I go out, she goes out. I go, yes.
My kind of music is the kind of music.
When you ask yourself, what is the crux of that? So, in those similarities that we are looking at, when you are looking at like your relationship or your marriage as a whole that you are intending to go to, if I say, me and my wife, you know, we are moving both, music, that's why we are together. Can now hold. Okay. Is that the real similarity that will show our compatibility in behavior, in disposition, in handling issues, in finance, in emotional response?
It was even finance that came to my
in
head.
Training kids. Is it movie buff? And as most of those, that's why he started, most of the things that we always say, we are similar, are not important things in marriage. If you are telling me we are similar in value, then I will say, yes, that is a compatibility. We are seeing things the same way. Don't forget, husband and wife, as much as we might not be 100%, you also need your value system to be as close as possible. Not daddy should be A, mommy should be B. So when you raise the kids, what will happen? That's why you have households that you say, yeah, hey, don't listen to your daddy. But you can't be saying don't listen to your daddy. But you have, don't forget, so music compatible. You have film compatible. Like you said, finance. How are we doing this? Are we spenders? If some of you are spenders, my dear, no way.
That's a big...
So, wow. And that's why family was hammering it in the beginning. What are we looking at? When you want to marry somebody, when you even want to date someone, what is the core? Why do we focus on that that is frivolous? If the core is the similarity, yes. But when you say, hey, we are moving both, we are both going, okay, two of us are not going, and we don't speak a lot. Those are not, when you marry, after everybody has said, that paparazzi has gone, and you now settle into it, how are we going to build this home? Even before the child comes, what will be the structure of this home to our parents, to our in-laws? Are we going to handle this home in a certain way? If two of you there, you now diverge at the real crux of the matter, how would listening to the same music, how would it help?
It will help to douse tension when there's tension.
Thank God now. You know the reality. Please, when you're under tension, is it music?
Oh, man.
How many music?
Do you listen? How many films? Okay, I want to ask. I'm sure that there was a point in our lives we were watching series, like, as they were releasing it, now, I tell people that there's too much film. How
do you want to catch
it? Is that you watching 50, like 40, 50? Is that so? And I ask myself, so where would the movie now continue with me and my wife? You look at what you said about change, adaptive. Those are the real issues. Can we change? So if you can't change together, and some of you are watching film, and you are listening to music, and you are not going out, what is your husband's standpoint to God? What is your standpoint to God?
Because there are situations will arise that to even sit down and watch movie, you will even have quarrels some nights. Pre your movie night, maybe you had even shared.
Say you're going to watch a movie.
I will plan
automatically.
Weekend, a long holiday from Thursday to Monday.
We'll be watching it.
Netflix on
Netflix as you.
But then Thursday night, one quanta just happened. It could be something very trivial or something basic, and the movie night is cancelled.
Why can movie night be cancelled because of something? See, let's.
Which now, so like he just mentioned, what are the main compatibility attributes you should look out for when there is dispute or when there are quarrels or misunderstandings? How do we handle these things? Are we both quick to reconcile and then apologize and move on?
Those are the kind of similarities that will actually ensure compatibility,
right? You know, even talking about finance, some of these things. Right, and let's put this out, if we had not put it out before you get into marriage, it is crucially important that you seek God. Yes, it sounds like tautology, but it's just to
create the emphasis.
Because, you know, when we talk about even core values that has to do with compatibility, finance, for example, we are both savers. How much of savers are we? Do we save to the extent that we don't even want to have fun and, you know, create a good time for our children? You know, because some of these things would transcend time, and how adaptive to us really are we to change? If we are good savers, if one of us is if we're both savers, one would be a saver for a project than a saver for saving. You know, you cannot just say you want to save forever and then you will not enjoy the, because you know, so all of this will, and I think one major compatibility test that everybody must stand is that adaptiveness. Please help me, you understand English more than me. To change, how
How quick are you to respond
to change? Because right before now, you are the guy that you like to, you know, you like your wife to have a car, you two want to have a car. Maybe that was, you got married in 2020, and then now Tinubu is our president, and then Fred is almost 1,000 naira per liter. Would you still want you and your wife to put two cars on the road at such a critical time now? Is there a conversation of, should we let out one of the cars and God bless you, the two of you are not are working physically in the office like me? Thank God my wife works remotely. So if the one party works remotely, then you can still consider keeping both cars since one doesn't work as much. But if the two of you would have to go physically to the office at a at almost 1,000 naira per liter,
with two different cars,
do you understand? Yes, our kids needs to go to disco, daddy, but then do we have, if, you know, our job to ensure all of that? Do we, one of my colleagues at the office is saying that he's changing his children's school for one basic reason. They're moving from their temporary site to their permanent site, right? And the permanent site is father's father. And there's a school just back door who is almost as the same quality as. So it was, he had done the calculation that if they would move to that school, transportation for a term would be about 50,000 naira, transportation alone outside of school fees. So for a year, three terms, 150,000 naira. Just to take kids to school and bring them back home. He's not driving, no, he's just public transport without feeding. So, you know, being able to adjust, and the reality would differ for different people, right? So it's similarities, common ground, as efficient and encouraging as it is, it's also when you have the core ones, like SFA did mention, when you have the core similarities, trust me, it's a good foundation. It can make for a good foundation, but it's not enough to guarantee compatibility, and especially so in a marriage setting.
So I think you said it all, because I just, people, for all the new zoners out there, just, you need to think deeply. You need to be, you know, you're saying things that you have to be able to analyze issues logically without emotions. Look at what you mentioned about schooling. So let's imagine that you're now married to a person who is more, let's say a man or a woman, who is more concerned with outlook, how people see you. So let's imagine the kids, the school that they were going to before was like a well-known. The school by the house is not a well-known, but is that good? Imagine you're now married to somebody and say, Laila, is that one where we left that they must be going? Because there's really no manual anywhere that will tell you how to deal with any issue. If there was something that was okay, issue today, I'm just going to scroll. What should I do?
Right.
But there's none.
Even with the out.
This, this might be the same woman who might have never fought with you on anything, but you didn't really understand what it meant for her to initially go to that school. You know, many times ladies pick schools. So you didn't really know. So now, but God has done a new blessing, right? That going to our, all of a sudden is like, you must go to that school. So you not knowing now what will happen, you start fighting, you start shouting, you call people, and it won't change. See, that's why he has mentioned there are some things that if you don't understand the basis of where your partner is coming from, it will just lead to more fights. So when you are saying, are we similar, you need to ask yourself, what kind of similarities are we looking at? Are we looking at frivolous things that are good for the fringes, bonding? Or are we looking at things that matter to the existence of that family?
Well, that's not to say that, bonding and stuff.
We are not saying that.
I'm emphasizing that because of my listeners.
We are looking at that similarity, where people always say similarity, are on things that are not boiling down to real issues.
For example, let me give this example. This might be like a very, maybe the best, maybe
that's maybe the best example. Do you both have the mindset towards, say you're going into marriage, for example, are you going into that marriage with somebody who believes that, well, at the slightest of it, I can back out, or like, we can end this thing, we can cut it, we can end it, marriage is not a do or die affair. Like, the deal word is, divorce is not a big deal for them. Maybe it's like a tradition in their family, or maybe not in their family, it's just their belief that, you know, if it's not working, it's not working anyway, let's part ways. Or another person, and the other person believes that, you know, we can work at it, if it's differences, we can discuss it, go for counseling, you know, last, we can never end this marriage unless it is, you know, a life-threatening something. Make that kind of similarity, I think it should be one of the similarities that one should consider.
Obviously, because if you are for, you are staying, and the person you are with is for, you are not staying, ordinarily, what I would expect is that two of you are not on the same frequency
to start with.
But human beings, when you say this, your love, and now I'm trying to say that, you see, the love, there are two kinds of love. The love of the chemical imbalance one, that one of us bring endorphins and everything. That is not the real love of the marriage. The love of the marriage is one that will test, that will be able to withstand pressures when the chips are down. Because you always confuse that I love you with that one that you cannot sleep in the night. They are composing text message. That is not the love that we are looking at. I don't want, if you were to go baby count, you see, 1 Corinthians 13 has put out some things. That one is always very, you know, that's what we are talking about. When you are talking about love, it's beyond that. I don't see you.
I can't sleep.
I wish you could see if you are hungry, you are not tired, go to the gym. Go and gym in the
gym.
You will
sleep
off. You are talking about the love that can withstand challenges, the love that will be able to look at, you know, those decisions, like your husband is saying, okay, now the kids need to change the school. Can you love your husband enough to trust him that he knows what he's doing?
The kind of love that can withstand anger when you're really upset at something does or she does.
I'd like to throw.
I said, let me ask you. I don't want to ask myself because I know his answer. I think I know his answer. Has there been points in time in your marriage that you felt like, only if I could? Now, I'm not. I know for a fact that you're not a violent man. Like, is it me? Like, I should just maybe. Just push this woman, I'll be like, point a big pinch or bite her or something.
Well, I know. Honestly, no. But what I tell people is that, for what marriage has shown me, is that sometimes you realize that the opportunities, the scenarios actually do play out. Now, I say, if you look at it, they do play out. Sometimes you see something and be like, Father, I thank you that I'm not a violent person. Because in that situation,
You could have
a violent person. That's the response
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, because those things that we see, you know, that like, you're also working, you have to work on yourself. If you're a violent person and you know you're a violent person and you want to get married, it is the onus is on you to go and actually first start working on yourself before you even want to consider, and you know they would have been giving you what are your triggers. You need to know what triggers you. If you don't know what triggers you, you're always going to be a slave to your anger. You'll be a slave to your anger, right? So the most important thing is that as a person, you need to be self-reflective. Even as a man that has never hit your wife before, you even notice that maybe she was talking, you lifted up your hand. You didn't do anything, but you lifted up your hand. In your secret place, you need to begin to tell God to work on you, because the lifting up of the hand is like on your mark set. You know, you have never done it before, but something in you actually, you know, you thought about that. So, you, as people, we have to continuously work on ourselves, because if it has happened on the day that you raise your hand, or you know those ways, you just pause, it will be a day you will not pause. It might not be next year.
If you don't
work on it. It might not be 2025. It might not be 2020. It might be 2030. So as people, we always have to work on ourselves. So if there's anybody, and if a lady is in an abusive relationship, people keep saying stay. It's always hard to tell someone to stay. Nobody wants, because there's the psychology to being beaten. Whether you're a man or a woman.
Abusive relationship, abusive marriage.
If you're in an abusive marriage, you know, before the advice was always stay.
In the marriage.
It will get better, yes. But people have learned better now. You might be need for a separation so that you can begin to talk to both parties, see how we can work on. Yes, because many a times you would have automatically felt that the man that his wife beats him or the woman that he beats should actually pack her loads and go. But it doesn't work that way. Because there's a psychology to being beaten. You know, this is a man you say you love that maybe battered you. Many a time they come back to say they are sorry. To cry.
It won't be the case of wives beating their husbands.
Yes, that men have always been abused. So but people ask a question. Now sometimes, you know, similarities. Did you see anything?
Well,
was there a red flag? You know, we always see flags. You'll be seeing this, right? We are not similar here. And then we are very divergent. We are very divergent. That's why we said, are you similar on key things? But you realize you're like this. Your husband is telling you, ah, any woman that does that will slap you. You're not married, but he's saying it.
Do you know?
And yes,
maybe
you're saying.
Or maybe doesn't even say, maybe you're watching a movie and you know the man slaps his wife and he's saying, hey, oh, you're called Bawi Bang.
So the questions that we'll leave with New Journals today is that when we are looking at these similarities, we are talking about key foundational issues, not the lovey-dovey. Do we watch? Do we like to sleep in?
So yeah, it's like what SFA said a couple of minutes ago, that there are two kinds of love according to SFA. I kind of agree. The chemical love and the actual love. You see, that chemical love is that infatuation part. It oftentimes happens in the beginning of your relationship.
Yeah, that's a point.
You can't sleep, you just want to see them, you want to hear their voice
to forever. You want to ask, you walk back to your house, you stroll back.
You when you sleep, you are seeing their eyes, you can picture them with your eyes, all of those feelings, you know, butterflies in your tummy and all of that. Yes. It's good because it gives you good memories, at least at the very least. But at the crucial point of it, when the dough gets tough, when
the going gets tough, so here I think
what I want to say, even now I'm going to continue.
there was something that I was going to respond to earlier when you mentioned about those who did set out for divorce in marriage. Trust me, my statistics may be questioned, but I would want to say that at least about 95% of the people that go into marriage went into marriage with the intention that we're not going to divorce. But life has a way of throwing different balls at you, right? Which is why before you engage the marriage conversation, you need to engage God. Like, if you are getting married 10 years time, it's not too early to start to engage God about it now. Because a lot of things that we don't know as human, we are limited in our knowledge and in our sight, is so very clear to God, and it can rightly guide your steps as to where to go. Because it's funny when you've met someone and then you know everything feels so good and all of that until they get married, and then you get to know that now this may be scary, but it happens, and then you get to know that the husband's dad would have to have a canon knowledge of the wife. It happens. It happens. I've heard the testimony of a man of God. He said that what they did for the girl was they were cohabiting, and they were telling her that the guy is from a well-to-do family, and they were telling her that it's only when she puts to bed that the guy will marry her.
Okay, I've heard.
And they know that she was not going to put to bed because there is a family ritual that is renewed with filters of babies.
What is this they are saying?
Life is that spiritual. So once she gets pregnant, it comes down. And that's what that is what is used for the renewal. You know, so the wife, let her stay with the guy till Jesus comes. She's not going to put to bed, if she doesn't put to bed, she can't marry the guy.
That's deep and scary. So, bottom line, we've said quite a number of things on this podcast, right? Bottom line, similarities can equal compatibility, but those similarities have to be in core things, your values, not in things, not on surface things such as, you know, things that bring pleasure. Not that they don't matter, but like 3 hours on this podcast now, we can categorically tell you these things, at least from our own experiences as you know, married folks. When it comes to the nitty-gritty of it, you need more than music and movies. You need a consciousness, the discipline and the commitment and Efuminoyibo, determination. Can I have more adjectives to use just so that, you know, you need all of these things
at the end of combination of that and much more.
So much more. Those are the things that you need to consider to have similarities in. To now say that yes, myself and this person, we are compatible enough to get married. And if you're a married person listening to this podcast and you're wondering, oh my God, I should have listened to this podcast way before I got married to this guy or to this lady, it's not too late. No, because we are living, we are growing, we are evolving every day. So you can work on yourself, you can sit your spouse down and have this talk with them. You know, this is what I have learned. What can we do? How should we do it? You know, and all of that. So I really hope that we have been able to, you know, give you one or two insights for your relationships. So until next time, when I come your way with another wonderful episode of the New Zone with OFE Podcast, I live in the hands of God, and I love you. You know that I love you, and I do this because I love you. So my guest will be saying their goodbyes. SFA.
All right then, New Zone. So we have heard it all today. Just focus on the key foundational issues. That's what we should focus on.
MK.
All right, yes. Lay a good foundation. The Bible says the Bible has a parable of two men. One built his house on the rock, the other on the sand. And the only thing that differentiated them was when the storm came. Yeah. My pastor would say that they built the house on the same streets, because that's how you can easily make the comparison. So it's in the same environment, but what stood one out was the foundation that he has. So ladies and gentlemen, let's build a strong foundation. And of course, as it is usually said, you can't compare the foundation of a bungalow to the foundation of a skyscraper, for example. So know what it is that you want. And according to this book, I'm sorry I'm taking time.
It's fine.
7 Habits of Effective People by Steve Covey. One of the attributes is begin with the end in mind. So look at the future that you want to create and ask God to guide you to the partner that can help build that future from now. God bless each and every one of us.
Okay.
Thank you, OFA, for having us.
Reverend Luafi. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening till the end. If you have questions or contributions, okay, my husband is a special guest. MK, guys, Zoe is in the building. MJ is in the building. You want to say something? Okay, no. She just so we don't take your time, guys. Yeah. So if you have questions or contributions, please, you know what to do. Send me a mail at newzonewithbrown002@gmail.com. Yes, the email address remains the same for now, at least. And you can also reach out to me on WhatsApp or send me a DM on Instagram. Until next time, I love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our guest's stories this week.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the New Zone with OFA Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the candidness and gained a fresh perspective. Until next time, stay genuine and don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast with others who might find it insightful. Got a question, contribution or request? Send us an email at newzonewithofa@gmail.com. Please follow New Zone with OFA social media accounts for exciting updates, engaging content, and a chance to stay connected with our community. Instagram, New Zone with OFA. Twitter, New Zone with OFA. YouTube, New Zone with OFA.